record.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome everybody to the Hot Talk Show, the barbershop dedicated to me. I welcome you to another episode. God, I thank you for bringing us here today. With that being said, let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for the day you have made. God, if it wasn't for you, God, where would we be? God, we thank you for covering us with your blood, Jesus. We thank you for the activities of our limbs. Thank you for breathing on that speech. Thank you for giving us our health and strength. God, we thank you for everything you have created, everything you have put in us. You made us out of your own image, God, and we praise you right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for the ones that's homeless, the ones that's laying on their sick bed, on their deathbed of affliction, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the one that's homeless. Thank you for the ones who don't know you at all, Lord Jesus, but hopefully one day they will listen to this show and listen to someone who's spreading the word to them in order to give their life back to Christ. With that being said, God, we honor you on this day, special day for all men, which is Father's Day. God, I thank you for covering every man that's listening to this show right now, Lord Jesus. Covering the ones who are fathers, God. Covering the ones who are taking responsibility of someone else's child, Lord Jesus. God, we know you said you'll be the father to the fatherless. With that being said, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We honor you. And this is our prayer, Jesus. Amen. Again, welcome to the Heart of Fly talk show called The Barbershop. Today, the Heart of Fly talk radio show is honoring the victims of Charleston, South Carolina, and the shooting last week. This show is also dedicated to my father, Johnny Odom Jr., my grandfather, Johnny Odom Sr., and to my uncle, Herbert Odom Jr. These men play a big part in my life, and I love them very much. God, with that being said, again, God, I welcome you. This is your boy, your host, Deacon Chauncey Odom. Some call me Chauncey. It doesn't matter. I'm your boy. I'm your host. We thank you for this wonderful day, for being here. He could have been anywhere else. All the fathers, again, I'm honoring all the fathers, and I want to tell you thank you and happy Father's Day. It's been a blessed day so far, Lord Jesus. And today is dedicated, like I said, today is dedicated to the shooting that happened the other day in Charleston. I don't know about nobody else, but it touched my heart. Kind of makes me think, excuse me. When I talk about it, I get upset about what happened, but, you know, God is still in control. You know, it just weighs heavy on my heart that you can be sitting in church doing a Bible study, and all of a sudden something happened in the blink of an eye. But as we know, down in Charleston, if you haven't been watching the news, I think this incident that's happening has brought everybody close together. And even with the churches here locally, I know our church today, we honor them with a moment of silence. And it makes you be glad if you can see your brothers and sisters today at church. Because the ones who were at Bible study, we knew that was going to be their last day. Being at church or attending Bible study. It's amazing that this guy sat right there through the whole thing. And all of a sudden he decided he wanted to take somebody along. It's very tough. I don't know about nobody else. But, you know, if you want to make a comment, you're more than welcome to press one. But before we do that, scripture is coming from Psalm 68, verse 5. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God and his holy dwelling. And like I said, this show is dedicated to fathers out there today, the ones who being the real man that's doing what they're supposed to do. My hat's off to you. To the ones whose father is not living, we still honor them. because we know that they played a big part in your life today. And again, to the victims in Charleston, South Carolina, we honor you yesterday on the barbershop. And to the family, you know, I know this is a difficult time, it's hard right now, but we pray for you right now, and we just ask God to give you the strength, you know, to be able to hold on to his word. Like I said, it's praying time, and this is a hard day. So, you know, like I said, I'm honoring my father, my grandfather, my uncle. Yesterday was my dad's birthday. He would have been 67 years old. And I went to his grave yesterday, me and my grandma. And that was the first time I've been in years. And God laid on my heart real heavy to go. And I went. And that's what brought this stone, put flowers, me and my grandma. And me and my grandmother said a prayer. So many of you know from Rocky Mount knew my dad, my granddad, was a well-known father in Rocky Mount, cut hair for almost 50 years. My dad was well-known in Rocky Mount as well. My uncle Herbert Odom Jr. was a deacon in the church also. And one thing I took from him is Psalms 23. I try my best to read it every chance I get. You know, that was his favorite chapter and song. You know, and I did get to see all three of those strong men that was that's in my life. You know, they might not be here today, but they're in my heart. Last time I spoke with my Uncle Harold, he said some things to me before I got married, and something that every man would love to hear from a man, a father figure, uncle, brother, in their life to tell them how proud he is. And when I think of him, that's the first thing that comes to my mind, how much he told me he was proud of me. And I thank him for the encouraging words to me and my wife. And he spoke positive things into my life. My uncle always was there with me since I was a little kid. And my grandfather, you know, like I said, he was a barber for almost 50 years. And a free haircut until I got old enough to go somewhere else and get a haircut, when he started wearing fades and flat box top, you know. That's when I had to go somewhere else and get a haircut. So my granddad was old school. Won't no fades, none of it, was straight haircut. Cut close, tight, edged up. That was my granddad's style of cutting hair. All that other stuff, you had to go somewhere else. But now I've gone back to where I grew up with, you know, just a straight haircut, close cut. In memory of my grandfather. But my dad, who I seen as a single parent, raised me and my sister, you know, with the help of my grandma, my aunt, you know, do a good job, not knocking my mom, but, you know, things happened between them, that was between them. You know, we was young and we didn't know what the situation was, but I thank God for things I learned from my dad. Some things I learned wasn't good, but, you know, the good things outweighed the bad things that I learned from my dad. And like I said, I honor these three men, strong men who played a big part of my life to the man I am today. Like I said, it's been a blessed day, y'all. And I hope every, you know, one who's listening had one today as well, you know. If your father's still living, you know, give him a call and tell him Happy Father's Day that you love him. Even reach out to If he's not there, still reach out to him and pray that one day that God will give him, give you all the strength, to have a relationship. That's one thing about me, and we need each other. I know, some guys think it's corny when you go to another man for help, but it's not corny. That's just brotherly love. And like I said, today is just very emotional, but I'm still happy. I'm still praising God. I still, love everybody. But, this weekend has been a most emotional weekend for me. But, I'm still standing by the grace of God. I'm still here in the hottest spot. Talk radio show here at Super Box Shop. With that being said, I think we have a good number of callers today. And again, I honor all the callers that's listening, that called in or listening to on the internet. I thank you. You could have been doing something else, but you took time out to come to the barbershop. This is our ninth show, and this show grows every week. And again, I thank you in advance. Thank you for your support and love. And like I said, today is dedicated to Father. And it's Father's Day thing. I looked up the definition. I got two definitions for father. First one is a male parent or a male ancestor, a mentor or a provider. Second definition for a man is God, man's his children, a man whose offspring, who are offspring, also a name for God or a respected leader. Like I said, that came, that scripture was today from Psalm 68:5. With that being said, if anybody wants to make any comments on what happened in Charleston last week, feel free to press 1. If you just want to reach out and say happy Father's Day to your father, or if you have anything on your mind, feel free. Like I said, press 1, and we'll chime in. I see I have someone already that's ready to speak. Caller with your number, last 4 numbers, 3179. You're on the air. Hello?
Deacon Chauncey, God bless you, bro. How you doing?
Hey, Wilson, God bless you, too.
Amen. Happy Father Day again. Happy Father Day again.
Thank you.
I'd like to happy Father Day to all men. It's on the video. And it's just an awesome day to think about, as fathers. So thank you for allowing me to be on the video today with you. So it's very important, that we support one another as men. So I thank God. I was just listening to you talk and the definition you gave for fathers. And even this morning service, I did another church this morning than our church. But, the mm-hmm. celebration of a father was so awesome. How that even when I got in there, the women were singing a song about hearing the voice of the father. And I remember that song when in the movies of Tyler Perry, and that song is a really, really powerful song about the voice of a father. So, it's important today that, we all hear the voice of our father, whether it's our real father, natural father, or whether it's our grandfather, whether it's an uncle, it's a father figure. So, I thank God for all fathers today, and that we can hear the voice of real fathers, men that want to be part of our lives. As I kind of share with them today, I kind of share with them, something that our pastor taught about, what kind of legacy will we leave to our sons, our family. And that's important as fathers, that we leave a legacy that our sons will want to try to follow after us by a good example. And I kind of try to share that with them today and how important that is. So men that are hearing on the video, it's important that you leave a legacy with your sons. You make sure that they recognize that you are a very vital part of their life. That without you in their life, they're not going to be positive people in life just because you're missing. and even our voice to them when they're in trouble, them being able just to hear us tell them good advice is very important. And not only do just the good advice, the good example with that advice is preceded by our example of our lifestyle. So as fathers, it's important today that, you know, we just make sure that we are strong men that when our children see us with our wives or even their mothers, that they see a man that really cares about women and respect of a woman. And that's very important that we show that today. You know, a lot of our sons are going to see us today, and everybody's celebrating us today. But at the same time, we've got to still take, have high respect for the women in our life that support us today. You know, a lot of them are cooking and making us meals. They're giving us time and space just to be alone. We need to be alone. Or they're just spending that time with the relatives. But, you know, I've got call from almost every one of my sisters, you know, and I call them on their Mother's Day. But every one of my sisters, I've got five sisters, and each one of them called me, and they're calling me, saying Happy Father's Day to me. And even me and my son, we talked earlier. So that's very important that today the voice of a father is to be heard. So I thank God for the radio blog allowing the voice of a father to be heard, especially your grandfather. You know, your father you talked about is very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like I said, I told you, always told you, Elder Wilson, I thank you for your love and support. Thank you for your encouragement. Some things I have learned from you has made me become the man that I am today, right along with, you know, family members and friends. I like to give a shout out, like I always do on Sundays, to my wonderful wife who just got back in today from off the road.
Amen.
She was in Atlanta, her and my daughter. But I am so happy they're home because I missed them. I had to leave out the house because they won't be, and I had to go out and had to make myself go out and enjoy myself. But I really enjoyed my weekend, even though it was a little emotional yesterday, but I still ended up having fun. Went and hung out with my co-host, Jerome. Yesterday, went to visit him in Wilson, and we just reminisced on some the good old days where we just had fun, and nothing like it is today with the young kids. You know, we knew what fun was all about. You know, we respected our parents, we respected our fathers, and we listened to them. You know, and I think, you know, just like you said, Elder Wilson, I think, you know, us, we always say it on the barbershop, you know, us men, including myself, we need to step our game up. And, like the sermon pastor did today, put up a fight. That was one powerful sermon today for men. So if any men would like a copy of it, that's something you got to listen to. It really touches home. It really makes you, as a man, inventory yourself.
Right.
You know, because us men, we need to step up. We need to take our rightful place and be that man that God called us to be. You know, don't be lazy. Don't be stagnant, you know. Don't leave everything, you know, for the women to do. Because some things the women can do, but some things are meant for us to do.
Amen.
Know, don't leave them hanging. Because, you know, as we always say, you know, God created man first. A woman is our helpmeet. And that's what they want to do. They want to be our helpmeet. But in order for them to do that, us as men have to take our rightful place and stand on God's word, stand strong, and don't let the enemy take what's ours, our family, our children, you know, our churches, our schools, you know, and it's sad, you know. Now it's praying time, because after the situation that happened Thursday in Charleston, as a man, it makes you wonder. That could have been our church. That could have been a church in North Carolina. You know, but as men, we have to stand strong and keep our eye on our family, our church family, our community, our schools, even our government. Strong men and men of God need to stand up and don't keep your mouth closed. So this is the time now, as men, that we need to stand up. You know, because, like I said, it could happen in anybody's church.
Amen.
Like I said, who knew? They didn't know this was going to be their last time being in Bible study. You know, it's sad. You know, because my wife told me, our son called her the other day. He was crying. Mm. You know, and my wife asked him what's wrong. My wife was told, yeah, it took him. So this, you could be, that could have been you at church. That could have been us.
Yes.
And I church.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, mm-hmm. like I said, but as men, we do need to step up and hold on to God's word. Like Ella Wilson, like you said, be a voice. Be a strong.
Right.
You know, it's going to be some times that we're going to get knocked down, but, you know, the point is, are we going to get up? You know?
Right.
And that's, you know, that's why I put a picture of the nine victims. And, you know, every time I look at, you know, that's somebody's grandmother, somebody's mom, just like the young man that plays baseball. And to hear that interview that he done, he 19, he was just calm and cool. And he said something that sticks in my mind. He said, if we was a love like my mom, hate would never be around. So that lets you know that his mom, when she loves somebody, her church member, her family, she really loved. Hate was nowhere around.
Mm.
And that's with everybody, you know. Okay. Some people going to do things they ain't got no business doing. Yeah, that's true. But that word hate, I mean, that word just don't fit in my category. You know, that's, to me, that's like a cuss word. You know, because God didn't never hate nobody. God always, he loved everybody. He just some
Amen.
Situation he, you lived in, he didn't like. But God
mm-hmm.
never hated nobody. And that's one thing God don't want us to do, is hate nobody. He wants us to love everybody. I know it's going to be hard when people do something to us to make us mad and say things about us. Yeah, well, I understand all that. But you still have to love. But, you know, love conquers all.
Yes,
you know, amen. It's easy to love. Love is an action word. How would you
right.
take the time to hate somebody? You know, that, like I said, that makes me, that's disgusting to me. How you can say you hate somebody because of their color, because of their race, because of their hair is short, they don't have this, they don't. But that's not it. Everybody's different. You know, God made everybody different. You know, I just don't understand. But, you know, like I always say, men, we need to step up.
Yeah, amen.
We need to step up. We need to step up. Go ahead.
You know, there's something that, you know, I've looked at for the last several months. There's a spirit that's ruling all across the world, not just in our state, not just in the United States, but there's a murderous spirit all over. And I remember mm-hmm. reading in Revelation about the red horse of violence. So I got a call yesterday as I was preparing to go to work and finish up. And one of my former classmates, his son had got shot to death on Friday night or Saturday morning. And, mm-hmm. and it, you know, it was a lot of pain because the thing is, his son and my son, they all grew up together. And
mm-hmm.
he only had two boys. And thinking that happened before Father Day, and then also the situation happened in Charleston, South Carolina. The thing is that as men on Father Day, we got to remember, like I said, stepping up our game. We've got to step up our game to have a desire to see our young men not do those kind of things that they do. That's the violence and the evil of trying to destroy each other's life. We've got to, as much as possible, as fathers and an example, showing them a better way. There's a better way, and the first thing you do is think about balance when you don't come eye to eye with each other, or you don't have the same kind of conversation, or you're different skin color. And it's important on a day like today that we as fathers be as strong men that our son don't mind talking to. You know, me and my son, I was at church, and he called me, and they were getting ready to eat, but yet I split about 30 minutes and just talked to him about 30 minutes over the phone. It was very important that I had to talk to him at that time. You know, and I was wishing him as Father's Day, but we was talking, me and him just conversing back and forth, and I was talking about his son and my grandson, and he needed that ear. He needed that voice. And this is what I'm talking about as men. Today is a day that we as fathers think about who we really are. Pastor, when he preached that message, thought about 8 or 9 months ago, about a year ago at that church, he talked about our legacy. Our legacy was so strong in us that our sons want more than anything. You know, are there some Joseph or some Abrahams, or is there some Jacobs that are looking up to their father? Are there some Davids that Solomon can take an example from? And that's what we need to be. We need to be men of the word. My father-in-law preached today a strong message about men stepping up the game, because men themselves are you got to quit doing the mess that you're doing, and you know you got some things in your life shouldn't be. You're working on carnality, but you got to walk in the spirit. You know, you boys are looking to find out if we are men that are walking in the spirit of God and that love Jesus with all our heart. And that's where the game is stepped up, us falling in love with Jesus, that when we fall in love with Jesus, our character changes. That we'll be the right father, that loves the mother, that the son sees that. So when he decides to date a young girl, even preparing for marriage, he has an example. And that's what I'm talking about, Deacon Chauncey, that us stepping in that kind of game. And not only that, that our sons don't mind, okay, if I'm going to be a man, I know who can give me the right advice. I know what my father does. I know that he does just not talk a talk, but he walks a walk. He walks that lifestyle that he brings the money home. He walks that lifestyle that he makes sure that my mother is protected. He walks that lifestyle that my sister, she's secure in the fact that daddy is a real man. And don't I'm talking about stepping up our game. We need to step our game up. That a day like today, that our young boys, they want to call us just like when you call your mama on Mother's Day. They want to make sure I call my dad and say Happy Father's Day, because their dad is so important in their life. And that's important, is that we as men, we have a strong voice of lifestyle. Talks about the women. If your husband don't obey the word, you win by the conversation without the word. Same thing with us. If our family members are in sin by our lifestyle, without just preaching at them, we have a lifestyle that convicts them and draws them towards Jesus, a loving lifestyle, a kind lifestyle, a gentle, and a gentleman with our speech, not being harsh or trying to raise our voice and talk down to our wives, but we want to have a voice of gentleness, of loving kindness. And that's important. Right now today, all over the nation, women are hurting because men have not stepped up and did those things that show example for other young boys that when they grow up, they know how to treat a woman. Know how to treat a woman. They should feel like a queen. She needs to feel like she's important. So it's important, Deacon Chauncey, that we step that game up that way.
Yes, man. Yes, most definitely. Anybody else out there that want to comment on what we're talking about Father's Day? And we're also talking about the Charleston, South Carolina church massacre, where 9 victims lost their life at Bible study. So if you have anything, like we say, this is the barber shop. You're more than welcome to, you know, chime in. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear your opinion. You know, here at the barber shop, we make things where you feel comfortable opening up. And especially for the men, this is your format to open up and be heard. Because we know, like Elder Wilson and Jerome said, you know, once we link arms together as men, you know how much stuff we can accomplish. God will really start blessing us as men, putting us in the proper situations where strong men can take control and get the ones out of control who just doing evil, who don't let the devil take their mind. Like I said, anyone out there that wants to comment on what happened in Charleston, South Carolina, or just want to, you know, wish your father, your brother, whoever male figure in your life a happy Father's Day, we'll be glad, you know, for you to get your that button number one on your phone. We'll be glad, you know, if me and Elder Wilson talking, but, you know, we would like to hear somebody else talk. We would like to hear someone else's conversation. for your opinions about life or what you're going through. You might be going through some stuff right now. And like I said, this is the barbershop where you will be heard. You know, we don't judge you. We love you. You know, we support you, and we are here for you. So if it's your first time on a barbershop, we thank you for coming. We hope it's not the last time you come. But feel free to press 1, chime in, say what's on your mind, say happy Father's Day, or whatever you want to talk about. We here. I was looking at one of my Christian dictionaries, and I took the word father, and for each letter, I put a word beside, you know. And I had done this once before. I think I got it back again when God gave it to me the first time. The letter F in father is faithful.
The A is
anointed.
Amen.
C, teacher. H, a hero. E,
amen.
Excellent. R is righteous.
Amen. Wow.
I thank God for, you know, because like I said, I was going through my Christian dictionary with words, you know, from Christian definition, and it just seemed like I was just going through, and I could hear the words being said at each level that I looked up, and I think that's all of me. To me, that's just my opinion. I don't know about nobody else, but, you know, I'm going to read them out to you again. But this is just me, who I think will be a good father, someone who's faithful, anointed, a teacher, a hero, excellent, righteous.
Amen.
Faithful means being faithful to God and your family and your church.
Amen.
Anointed means is you have that gift from God to be able to speak up your family life, whatever the situation may be, even in the leadership you have in your church or in your community. C is a teacher. A father's teacher is, like you said, Elder Wilson. You know, our boys, they little, Jerome said it last Sunday about he always wanted to be like his dad. So,
yes.
His dad taught them how to, you know, by working hard, doing this, to provide for your family. That's being a teacher. His son was, Jerome was watching him. And, you know, with your son didn't watch you. My son watched me. Mm-hmm. Even the daughters watching. That we teaching them what type of men, as they grow older, when they get ready to get married, we showing them the type of men that they want to be married to.
Amen.
The H is for a hero. You know, all of us, we done it when we was growing up. You know, our hero was not those Batman or nothing like that. Our heroes was our fathers.
Yes.
Because we seen what they do. And like I said, you know, earlier, my dad was a single parent, a male raising two kids.
Amen.
But whatever it took, my dad made sure we had a roof over our head, clothes on our back, food on our table. He took us places. You know, he made sure on Friday it was us, me, him, and my sister, who, you know, he would take us out to eat. He prepared all our dinners for us. He washed our clothes for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, that to me right there is my hero. Like I said, I learned some other stuff from my dad, but like I said, the good things that I learned from my dad outweighed the bad things. I didn't judge my dad by the bad things he done. Everybody makes mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he changed his life around. And I think with the letter E for excellence, it's how you carry yourself and everything you do with, you know, even the decisions you make. You know, we have to, you know, do everything with excellence, you know. Make sure we please in God. That's what I'm glad that's the word he gave me for this. It's excellent. Excellence is a good word for the E in father. And the R for righteous. And
right.
Like Pastor Ed taught us today that we have, as men, we have to stand strong. Yeah, we might get hit with some blows, but it's the, are we going to let, like I always say, you're going to lay down your pity party. I don't condone pity parties.
Right.
Some of my boys are saying that that's one thing I don't condone pity parties. I ain't got time for pity parties. Because if you got time to have a pity party, you got time to sit back and evaluate yourself, do an inventory on yourself, and to see what are you doing wrong, and turn it around and turn it for your good. You know that's just me for my definition of a father. So if anyone that was listening heard what I said, comment on. I see Jerome is here. 0424, Romy Rome, you on the air.
I'm with you, brother.
did you hear what I said with the word father?
I'm on the road. Don't kind of sketchy. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can hear you. I was asking you, did you hear what I said, the word father, the definition or the word for each level that I gave? Okay, well, since you did, I'm gonna say it again, and hopefully that someone else besides Elder Wilson and Jerome is going to comment on this. Like I said, it's just me, my opinion. God gave me these words for the letter of Father. Like I said, F is faithful.
Amen.
A is anointed.
Yes.
C is a teacher. Mm-hmm. H is a hero.
Mm-hmm.
E is for excellent. R is for righteous.
Amen. Awesome.
What do you think, Jerome?
That sounds good.
Amen.
That sounds real good. That's pretty much for what a true father is, which our Father which is in heaven, that's
yeah.
Excellent and on the
point.
Yeah. 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 So I want everybody to know, like I said earlier, My family went to Atlanta for family reasons. My wife went to go support her, help her brother because he's real ill. So all my prayer warriors that's on the line right now, keep Joe James in prayer, which is my wife's older brother. And I have been home since Friday by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I hung out a little bit Friday, went and got me something to eat. And I told my wife, I came back home, I locked all the doors, and we came in my bedroom and locked the door for myself. And ain't nobody here but me. But I told myself that I won't go sit around the house sad. So like I said, it was an emotional weekend for me. But, like I always say, I thank God for the friendship that me and Jerome had.
Amen.
Like I said, I went to Rocky Mountain, went to visit my dad. They hung out with my grandma for a little bit. And I had called Jerome, and I told him, I said, well, I'm done. And he was like, what you get ready to do? I said, I'm coming to see you. I kind of got lost. I ain't ashamed that I went too far down the road.
Yeah.
To do a U-turn and come back. But you know what? It was worth it when I got this. The drone when I got to his house. Because this is a guy that, I grew up with in the same neighborhood, same project, went to the same school, and just to see what God has done in his life and what God has done in my life, because mm-hmm. I was going through some stuff a lot, and I like what I like about Jerome. He never sugarcoated anything that I went through. He always gave it to me raw and kept it real with me. And it's one thing about when I was in the world, he didn't ever beat me across the head with scripture. He always just encouraged me and told me this ain't right. You got to get it together. Do this. And that's what a true friend is all about.
Amen.
like I said yesterday, we really enjoyed ourselves yesterday.
I really
had fun with, spending time with my brother. And that was just like what Pastor was saying today, that as men, we need to fellowship more with each other. We need to learn about each other, be able to lean on another brother's shoulder when you're going through, or just sit back and relax and enjoy yourself, And yesterday was, like I said, I was kind of, sad because of my dad's birthday, but, I was thinking my dad would still want me to enjoy myself. I spent my quality time at the cemetery with him and my grandma. That was good. But then it was time for me to let, like they always let your hair down, let the wind blow through. I don't have that kind of hair. We can let it down. But it was just the fact that I was with a dear friend of mine. And we just enjoyed ourselves. We listened to old school music. We had fun. We talked about, Jerome had the nerve to bring out the yearbook. Mm-hmm. And Ella Wilson, I don't know why he did it to him, but he pulled a pistol out. I'm glad don't nobody seen that pistol but me and Jerome. Boy, I don't know nobody else to see that pistol. I think my wife will freak out when she see that.
Amen.
I'm like, that's me. And then we went out to eat, We fellowship. We had a good time. Time was just going fast and looked like a storm was coming up. Jerome said, I'm not gonna let you go home. The storm coming up. You're gonna have to sit right here until that storm blows. It got the wind, got the blowing a little head. But when we got back to his house, we just went back in and thought about what we left off before we went to eat. And next thing I know, it was about 12:30, going on 1 o'clock. I'm like,
wow.
I mean, that's when you know you're having fun or you with some friends or just one of your buddies and you just talking about life itself. Just like you said, Ella Wilson, me and Jerome said, that's what us men need to do.
Right. That's what it is. Yeah.
To hang out, the fellowship, the thing on. I mean, the women do it all the time. They ain't got no problem with a girl that's going to hang out, but us as men, we ain't going to do it. Go ahead, Ella Wilson.
No, you good. I've just listened to you. It's so awesome that you talked about that. We need to do that more and more. And men won't do it. Men just won't do it. They're afraid to be honest. They're afraid to be, I would say it's wimpy or compassionate. It is compassionate, but, just to show the gentle side of the stuff. They're afraid to do that, just to conversate, I think about me and my son, when we get together, we'll talk. Or we'll go fishing together or something like that. And we just start talking. We'll talk for a while, And that's so important. And then I've got some more pastor friends that I talk to a lot of time. And we get together and we share about different things. I stopped by one in Littleton, Apostle Williams. And for about an hour, we just conversate, talking about church and talking about our families and just talking about ministry, And it's so important that, you do that, And I just spend that hour just with him before his deacon came and his other minister came in. And then I went on to the park and relaxed at the park. But it was so much a refreshment for just to be to talk to another man for over an hour. Just you and the man talking. Just having fun, just talking. Mm-hmm. Very important.
Yeah. So, that's why, we try to encourage men when you come on this show. This is what the Barbershop is about. This is what, what I do when I hang out with Elder Wilson. This is what I do when I hang out with Drum. We talk. We just enjoy each other's company. I learned, like I said last week, I humble myself enough to where I listen, so there might be a little gold nugget that person you're conversating with or fellowship with might say. People to speak to you, so it's best, just me. So humble yourself and let that pride and ego go aside and listen, because it might be that gold nugget or something they might say that might encourage you or might lift you up, and that's when you might start opening up. And, you know, like I said, callers, feel free to press one. You know, if you want to talk, you know, this is what the barbershop is about. Yeah, it's dedicated to men, but we enjoy it with when the women come on. So, you know, some women are single mothers with sons, and they want to ask questions. You know, we experienced that last weekend. Last Sunday was a powerful show. I wish the plenty of women was there to hear it. You know, but, you know, I know it's some women on the show today, but, you know, feel free to press one. If there's anything you want to talk about, you know, like I said, this is what we do at the barbershop. We want to show you love and compassion that three brothers, you know, three strong men who love God, we ain't always been saved.
Amen.
So our thing is we want you to feel comfortable. We want you to see what us as strong men of God do, but we still have fun with each other. We still, you know, talk sports or whatever we do. But when it comes down to getting to the nitty gritty and talking about life itself, I enjoy talking to these two guys.
Amen.
That's why I thank God for them being here on the show. But we're leading by example.
Amen.
We're showing you guys out there this is how you fellowship with another pro.
Right.
But like I always say, we're not mind readers, but we make it comfortable where you can feel free. Like, you know what, I enjoyed it. I gotta say something.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, you know, feel free to say something. You know, but you know, how we gonna know what you're going through if you don't open up to us? But that's one of the things we do here at the barbershop. You know, we to love, uplift you in prayer, pray for you, you know, encourage you, you know, fellowship with you. And, you know, that's what we do here at the barbershop. And that's why, like I said, this is the hottest blog talk radio show for me. Women, forgive me. Y'all have all y'all 4 minutes y'all got. I commend you on this. But, you know, it's time for us men, like Pastor said, it's time for us men to stand up.
Amen.
You know, it's time for, you know, for the women to, you know, but that's what, you know, like you said, Ella Wilson and Jerome said it plenty of times, that's what they waiting on. Waiting on us to step up.
Amen.
You know, we can't keep sitting back in the back of the room looking, you know, while they sitting here struggling trying to raise a young man. You know, like I said before, you know, women, you might be mad with them, but it's okay. But, you know, I just don't like when women say they have to be both parents.
That's just me.
When you say it, because I don't know no woman that can teach a boy how to be a man. You know, you can teach them how to be respectful and right from wrong. Yeah, I understand. I commend you on that. But, you know, some women, you use your kids to get at that man to make him mad that, well, he don't want to be in that child's life. Don't do that, you know, because he needs his father. She needs her father.
Amen.
You know, because, you know, and men stop running away and scared to take care of your child. You know,
right.
Your child didn't ask to be here. You and the mama did things, and that's what happened. You know, we grown, hey, y'all had sex, and you know the consequences. You know, either you're going to get a disease or a baby's going to come.
Right.
And that's what happened. A child came. So, stop running from that responsibility. You laid there with her. She didn't put no gun in your head and tell you to come on.
Amen.
If she did it, you did it. Woo-wee. Better you than me. You know. It is what it is, you know. That's why me and Jerome were talking last night. I can't wait that we do this latest night out. And I done told you women out there that's listening, there's no male bashing. We don't need no male bashing. We go through that a lot in our own homes, but we don't need it on the radio. I'm just being straightforward, you know. But that's what it is, you know.
Amen.
But ladies.
I mean,
that's what I have to say about that. You know,
Amen.
But we want to hear from the women so we can tell our brothers this is why they're mad. And they expressing how they feel. And like I said, no bail basket, just express how you feel. And we're going to take it back to the brothers, and we're going to let them know this is what it is. To the ones who want to get it right, this is going to be for you. For the ones who want to keep doing what you're doing, I pray that one day that you get it together. And don't miss
Amen.
Out on your child, on your kid's life. Because, you know, I don't know how I feel to be like my dad was in my life, and he passed away was at 8:48.
Like I'm glad you brought that up about the women, and also too, just one of the things I dealt with today when I did the address. I like to say this to the women that may be listening on the radio. Women still listening on the radio, we commend you for all you've already done when the dads of your children wasn't there. I really commend you for being strong women that provided. You may have worked a second job, or you did what you needed to do to make sure your sons or your daughter were raised. But, you know, I ask you to just step back a little bit and ask God to help these men that are in the life of your children as their dad. Loose them and give them a chance and opportunity to spend time with their children. I want you to do that because the fact is that there's an anointing when it comes to a man being in charge of his family. Maybe he won't marry you, but at the same time, he's still the DNA of your son, your daughter. So I ask you to pray for him and make sure as you pray for him that you ask God to make him a strong man to take the responsibility and example, and then allow him to. Give him some time. If you don't trust him, give him quality time that you may allow him to come in your home and just spend time with his child. Well, if you do that and then him build that relationship, he'll take that responsibility that that child will reach out to him and then spend more time. It's not sometimes how much money he'll give you through child support. It's not that. It's not what the child is looking for. The child is looking for, will my daddy step up and take responsibility to help me become a grown woman or a grown man? So I ask you, ladies, give him opportunity. Give him a chance to be a father. Give him a chance to be a father. A dad is a dad, but a dad is not necessarily a father. A real father takes the responsibility to love and his compassion to teach and protect and to nourish and nurture the children. As it says in Ephesians 6, to bring up the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So women, give him an opportunity, give him a chance. Maybe he just didn't have a father figure himself, but maybe he's got the life together, he's gotten saved, he's got in a good church, he's got a good pastor, a good father, mentor. So give him a chance anyway, an opportunity, because women, you need him to, because you're not going to be able to handle that load later on in life, because the fact is that when that son gets older, 425, you did all you could do, but yet you can't teach a young boy how to be a man. It takes a man to teach another man how to be a man. So, women, I just ask you, and I commend you for what you've done, but allow your dad, the dads of your children, to really be true fathers. I commend you anyway. God bless you.
Well, you're mighty quiet.
I'm sitting here soaking it all in.
Are you still tired from that all that fun we had yesterday?
Man, what you talking about? I had to take a nap on top of a nap this morning. I really enjoyed the fellowship. I really did.
Well, we got somebody that wants to chime in. Your number 6985. You're on
air. Yeah. Yes. Good evening, brothers.
What up, man?
I'd just like to say this. We as men and the women out here, we need to not let this world take our children. We need to put all the differences, maybe if the parents, men and women, and these families or separate families need to put our differences aside and raise these children.
Amen.
We need to stop letting this world take our children, period. We need to be, those kids did not ask to be here. We made them. So we need to step up as parents and be that parent. We need to step up and show them the way. We need to work together to raise these kids in this world. It's just so many things out there now that's pulling these kids, that's trying to take our kids from us. We need to make that stand and stand in front of that and not let that happen. We don't need these TV commercials. We don't need these people out here on the street that don't mean them no well, telling them what's right and what's wrong. We need to tell them that. We need to be that rock that they can come back to and talk to and build from. We need to stop all this out here that's going on in this world is because there is parents out there that's not stepping up to the plate and being a parent. Bottom line, we have to. It's an all-time emergency out here with these kids. We are losing these kids every day.
Yes.
When it could be prevented. It could be prevented with an active parents. Active parents in these kids' life will make a big difference out here. Showing them, giving them instructions, showing them the way, listening to them, being that pillar for them to draw from. Because, you know, what we're having a lot of out here, you notice if you let that world teach your kid, that they're going to be confused. And they're going to do a lot of things wrong. And they're going to have to get through a lot of bumps and bruises if it doesn't take their lives before they get it right. We got to be the ones to be like, no, this is what it is. This is how I made it this far in life, to be able to be in front of you right now, still trying to show you the way, still being there. This world will tell them anything. This world will tell them it's okay. You did something wrong, but it's okay. Because, you know, it's 1,000 other people doing the same thing. This world will tell them that when it's dead wrong. We need to stand up as parents. I know there's a lot of situations where in the black community where the father's not in the house. There's even a situation where the mother's not around. Strung out on drugs. They want to party. They want to be in the clubs. They want to be with the kids out there in the street partying with them. So we got all that going on.
Mm-hmm.
We got to definitely stand up and be the parents that we're supposed to be. Bottom line, we got to give them instructions. We got to show them a way. Because this world, as you see it right now, is trying its best. And it's doing it. Taking our kids. Showing them all this foolishness. It's filling them with hate. It's filling them with the girls thinking it's okay to be on Facebook and with shorts up their butt and twerking up on the thing. Like, that's something. You know, you got the guys up there thinking being a thug is where it's at, where it's not. It's about being a responsible human being, a responsible man, going out there paving the way for your kids, going out there paving the way for others behind you to see, to use, maybe pull something from your life that they can say, okay, you know, I seen this man, I seen this woman. They was pretty much going through the similar thing, but you know what? They kept it straight. They tried their best. And look, they're not running around here thinking it's okay to go around, you know, and do crime in the street like you're going to get some kind of award or a medal. Somebody going to praise you for being ignorant out there, you know. Let people know it's okay to be good. It's okay to be a decent human being. It's okay. You do not have to be out there and be a fool, because the fool ain't going to get nothing but a soft behind. And nowadays, a fool out there get your life taken from you, you know. You have to, we just as men and in the women out here have to stand up. You know, and another thing I said a few weeks ago, and in our community, we have to have, we're going to have to start to have where those strong men and women in the community, their presence is going to have to start showing up. Because I think a lot of us, you know, we don't want to get involved in things because sometimes there's people that don't share the same morality, the same common sense, you know. But we're going to have to stand up because maybe they need, even the parents might need to see you as a strong man, a strong woman, to see they might still need to do some growing up themselves, you know. But we need, in our community, we need to let their presence be known nowadays. Because evidently right now, it's a lot of stuff going on, and it's going to keep going on. And it's going to keep going on. And it's going to keep going on until we make that stand as men and women in our community and say, no, this is what we have to do. If it takes me to, you know, say, hey, I see your son is really, or your daughter is really acting besides herself, inform that parent, you know. Let them know and say, hey, you know, if there's something I can help you up, you know, I take my kids to a museum order, to a play, you know, something constructive, something that's not like of this world. It's about, you know, jumping and flipping off cars, watching violent movies, and, you know, everybody wanna, you know, be the super rapper or whatever. You know, let's see something that's like a play that's showing things about real life. Something constructive. Some maybe you want to take somebody might one of them kids might be interested in becoming a singer or might be interested in becoming an artist. You know, doing art or might be interested in just something that's constructive. You know, we have to, just as parents, I just know my parents, you know, they was together, but they divorced when I was about 7 years old, okay? But my father was very much a very active father in my life. He might live a mile or two away from home. He was still very much active parent. Yes, because my father wasn't in the house don't mean he wouldn't knock on that door when he got on the line, or you want sent over there to him. Or he'll come get you. He'll come straight over there and get you and straighten you out and set you straight, you know, and vice versa. You know, my parents, I did see, and I meant I did see when they were, did have their differences. But you know what? They said to each other, it's not about what me and you had because of what happened between us two. It's not about us. It's about those kids. It's about them kids. When we laid down and made these kids, now it's up to us to raise these kids.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, you might not like each other that much, but that's not what it's about. It's about raising these kids and raising them up right. That's what they came to that conclusion. When they came to that conclusion. And once we got that, it smoothed out to where the point they could stand each other enough to say, you know, my father dropped me off after being the weekend with him or spending the week with him in summer. They could stay in that family car and say, you know, I know your son came over there and acting like he was just, you know, Mr. Model child. But let me tell you what your son been doing before he got over that week. Your son was out there throwing rocks at buses and trains and stuff, he was this and he was that. And, okay, now well, guess what? The child come walking back up and be saying, hey, Dad, this and that. I said, no, what is this I'm hearing? What you doing out here? It's not right. Get it together. Until we do that, you know, and if we work at that, it will change the tide of all this stuff that's going on in our community. Mm-hmm. And then I got to change the subject.
Excuse me to interrupt me. What do you think about the shooting in Charleston?
That the shooting in Charleston is hate, and what it is the hate that's been moldering and festering for hundreds of years, but it's hate. And what people need to understand that every race thinks they are the number one race. So saying we are the number one race, you'll never win that argument. You'll never win it.
I'm saying, okay, that young man was, because I don't think a lot of people understand what happened before this. This young kid went to the mall twice. The first time he went to the mall, I don't know, to me, this is my opinion, what I heard from, he went to the mall, I think, like in April, and he approached this lady that was in the store. It was a store that he went to, and he asked her how many employees you got, what time you open and what time you close.
Yes.
And then it kind of frightened her. I mean, it would have frightened me too that somebody comes in here. You so concerned about how many employees I got, what time the mall closed. I mean, you ought to know what time the mall opened and closed because you just came in the mall. But to ask me individual about how many employees I got, that's kind of scary to me. And then they said he came back the second time because he was banned from the mall for a year. But he came back to that same mall again. And my thing is, you know, like I tell people, didn't mean to cut off, but this is, we try to keep it to like 3 minutes because there's a lot of more people here. There's more things I want to talk about because, like I said, this show is dedicated to the father. Mm-hmm. But like I said, what happened in Charleston really touched my heart. I don't know about nobody else, if you saved or not saved. If this didn't touch your heart, there's something wrong.
Not to cut you off, but I went through so many emotions when this happened. I went through sadness. I went through disbelief. I went through anger. I went through just hopelessness. I went through a whole range of emotions because of this happened to those people in the church. Just to think that this young man walked up in this church with Bible studies. This is a free zone. This is a no-go zone with the violence, ignorance, and all that. This is where people come to worship God. And they have some Bible study. This young man, filled with hatred, knowing when he sat there in there for a whole hour, knowing he was going to try to kill these people, and he did. And that's just, I'm just sitting here, my mind, when I try to think about that situation, I'm sitting here thinking they in the Bible, so they thinking they reaching out to this young man and trying to bring him closer to God, and this man sitting here ready to take their life. This man, as far as the situation going on, this thing, he had instructions. That young man, whether anybody wanted to say it or not, this young man had instructions. No one sits there and be able to plot and plan things as he did. How did he know? How did he know this person was going to be there that night? The pastor was going to be there that night. That same pastor was the one that was fighting for Charleston police to have to wear body cameras. See, this is something, you know, it's. I think this happened, but I think there's some more underlying issues and things that was going on besides this guy carrying out a racially motivated killing. You know, it's just mighty strange. He drives 110 miles to a certain church looking for a certain person. But at the same time, he did have that hatred to kill blacks. But I think it was more to that. That's just my opinion.
I was just listening to you all ago. You said instruction. Who you think gave him instruction?
Some supreme, so whoever, somebody from a white supremacist group that was involved in some kind of way. I don't want to be out there like I just know everything is going on, but as far as what I'm gathering, the information that's coming in, it was something by someone or somebody instructed this young man. No one just sits there as a young man and plots out to go drive 110 miles to this certain church and take out this pastor and the congregation. You got hundreds of churches in where he was from, filled with blacks. Why this particular church in Charleston?
What is your outtake on it, Elder Wilson?
I won't say very much, but I say this. Always know this. If Satan is not doing something, he's always plotting something. And you got to understand the demonic world. The demonic world is assigned to destroy those that are believers. There's affecting life. Apparently, this pastor was affecting a number of people in a positive way. So Satan was allowed to do this, even though God did not want it to happen. He was allowed to attack. And at the same time, we got to see it, the demonic forces, they very, very strategic with what they do. And when they do stuff like this, they're not just doing it just to take those nine lives. It's to affect the whole nation. He knew with everything going on with the policemen killing black men and stuff like that, and vice and stuff, he knew it was there even more. So Satan, with his strategic planning, did this to this young man only because he was available. He had some issues in life,
I can see it like
was
that.
Available to be used.
Yeah.
What about you, Jerome?
Yeah.
Well, for me, I believe it's an attack on the black race so far as the black male, because, you know, the Bible speaks that the last should be first and the first should be last. And in this later time, it's time for a transition. And I believe the devil knows this. And and for the race to have been last and been the blacks for so many years, it's time for us to come up, especially as black men. And you know that we are white man's worst nightmare as an educated black man.
Yeah.
And I feel it's a transition that's going to come in the earth, and the devil knows it, and the devil going to use anybody he allows him to use them to come against that transition, because we got to step to the forefront as being male, and as well as being a black male, we got to step to the forefront and let God use us so that we can set example on how the world supposed to be led and ran. So I see it being an attack, because it's a transition that's going to happen in the land. And like I say, not just only black men, but everybody that's been poor, that's of God, has been last for so many years and has a relationship with God and know Christ, it's going to be a transition, but we got to come to the forefront as Christians. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by the black churches really being the, should I say, the ground layer of religion, when I say full-fledged religion as being knowing what the true gospel is and really know how to worship Christ and really understand what, you know, Christ went through when he walked the land and how they persecuted him. They persecute us. They condemn him. They condemn us. We were slaves. All this stuff that went on that we know, you know, pretty much for a race what it was like when what Christ went through when he walked the land, to the point where it's time for a transition as us, as a whole race, especially as black men of God, to step up so that we can do what we need to do. But as you turn on the TV, every time you see something, internet, anything, I always attack on a black male.
Yeah.
Black male.
Every day. Every day.
Like they showed the young man that did all that destruction down there in Charleston. They showed how they put a bulletproof vest on him and handcuffed him and brought him in. And then they showed the black males that wasn't even armed, how they were shot down, killed, beat up when they were brought in. So, like I say, and on top of that, they don't want to realize that it's racially motivated. Fox News don't. And that's what it's really all about. The bottom line is it's a racial issue, to the point where, because the devil is busy, he don't want God's work to go through in the land. So it's got to be a transition. It ain't necessarily really all about being black. It really ain't necessarily all about being that. It's really all about being a Christian.
Right.
Having a relationship with Christ. So it could be black, it could be white, it could be any color that loves God and want God's will to come forth in the land. The devil is attacking, and he really trying to keep it a diversion, trying to make it look like it's one thing or it's another thing. But really, the bottom line is a transition got to come in the land where God, he got to come in, and his people, he got to do a transformation where we got to step to the forefront.
Yeah.
And do God's will so that he can come in and heal.
Yeah, because So it's like, which is, you know, as we, you know, we're talking about this, you know, to the people who just came on, you know, this show is dedicated to the Father. You know, again, I wish every father out there a happy Father's Day. And, you know, we also dedicated this show, you know, to my father, my grandfather, and my uncle, who played a big part of my life. But I thank God for laying this on my heart, you know, for the victims. We're honoring the victims of Charleston at the AME Church, you know, because if you really look at it, to hear how the people spoke about them, it's just like what Pastor was teaching us today about legacy. And what are people going to say about you when you leave? And, you know, it's sad what happened, but I see more now. They are posting more stuff now. You're seeing younger kids. You're seeing white people. You're seeing all nationalities and race come to that one church and just grasp the love and the compassion that they have for God. Because I don't know if you listened to that woman who seen that young boy, and she said God put her in the right place so they can find him. And it's the thing, like, every time somebody say,
not mean to cut you off, but it ain't really just all about what went down in Charleston. It's about the churches,
right?
Attack on the churches, because just a couple of days ago as well, down in I believe it was Alabama, I believe.
Yeah,
the black man went into the church and went and shot the people in the church and kidnapped his wife and his kid. He shot the pastor, shot the woman's mother, killed people in that church. But that's not getting the publicity as this church here in Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just going on just there. It's going on in other churches where the devil is walking up in churches and blowing people down. So this
mm-hmm.
is nothing new. It just so happened to be that church, and by being that church, like I was saying a while ago, it make it look like it's racially motivated. But it's just the
mm-hmm.
devil attacking the churches. The Christian.
Yeah, it's quickening in his face. Definitely quickening
in his
face.
I know, too, even with some of, like you said, they're attacking, Satan is attacking the Christian. You know, and a couple of times at work, me and the fellas talked about, you know, the quarterback, Tim Tebow, who went to Florida. You know, and they try to put so much on that he's not a good quarterback. He's not this, he's not this. And I told him, I said, that's not the reason why he's not in the NFL. I said, the reason why Tim Tebow is not in the NFL, because every time he was at Florida, he scored a touchdown, he got on one knee and pointed his finger up to God. Just like with the same thing that with RG3, when he was doing an interview, he had a shirt with God on it. They told him he had to turn that shirt inside out or he'll get fined. Just like with Steph Curry.
Same thing with Steph Curry. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
Look.
Same thing with Steph Curry. I mean,
you gotta
look at it, like you said, Ron. It's attack of the end.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Like, you know, let's calm down, fellas.
Okay.
The whole thing is we want whoever's speaking, give them the respect and let them say what they got to say before we cut each other off. You know, that's how the format rolls on a barbershop. Like I was saying, it's just like with all the athletes. Even Pastor said the day at church how the enemy is using all these celebrities, all these high influence people. The devil is attacking them and got them doing stuff to make it seem like it's right. And, you know, like we were saying at work, we was talking about RG3. I told him, the guys at my job know how I feel. I had to take a fine, and I would have wore my shirt where you could see it. Just like what Steph Curry said, you ain't going to tell me not to talk about God. And just like when his baby girl, Riley, grabbed that microphone and said, we blessed.
Yeah.
And that messed everybody's head up. This little girl, that's why it's right for a man to stand up and take his place. Because if you really look at it, evidently, Curry himself is showing his daughter. She watches her dad, not just by playing basketball. She watches her dad, and when he go to church or he's the worship or he's reading his Bible, she's watching him. Because if she won't watch him, she would have never known that he say those things. I'm blessed.
Yep.
And then, you know, like we said, Satan is going to do with anything and everything he can to attack us Christians. Like I tell, when I first got saved, I used to tell a boy, you know, they were like, Chucky, well, you know, how did they say? They got it to the point where I was like, no, you in the world. Satan don't care about you. He already knew what you're going to do. It's me he worried about because I done left him alone and I came to the number one man. Now I'm running with him. See, that's how it is when you leave the world alone and you come to Christ. Satan don't care about the people that's out there in the world. He already knows he ain't got to say with one thing to them, they're going to flip the script. It's just the ones who don't let them alone and don't realize that everything he's doing is a lie. Like, you know, like Pastor was teaching us, Satan already knows he can't go to heaven no more. He left there. There won't nobody fault but he is why he left from up there. So now he's mad because he can't go back. He don't want nobody else to go up there and be up there with God. So it still goes back to the man, us men. Us men will take our rightful place, do what we call to do, and show our faith. That's why I commend Steph Curry. But evidently, he's teaching his daughter, him and his wife, teaching his daughter about God. For that little girl to sit there and grab that microphone and say, I'm blessed. That says a lot about Steph Curry. He'll tell you, it's more to me just basketball.
Amen.
And I'm glad he stepped up and told the media it's more to me than basketball. Some athletes are scared to say it. Some actors are scared to say it. But see, it's gonna take somebody like Steph Curry, the ones who are real Christians, not faking the phone. That's why I try to say, as men, we need to step up. Like I said, I commend Steph Curry for telling them, it ain't all about basketball with me. It's about God, because I know where my talents came from. Yeah, my daddy was a good basketball player, and I know where my daddy got it from. My daddy got this gift from God. It's a God's gift that he gave them men to use. And I'm glad that Steph Curry did that. That way he can bring the rest of the guys out who strong Christian athletes to step up. And like I said, that's another reason why Tim Tebow is not in the NFL. Because look what he did. When he did that whole high school football team, they went on, got on one knee in the hallway. And the principal got mad, was trying to spell every guy out. And you know what? A majority of that football team was white. So like Jerome said, it's about God. Why these kids are being attacked, why these churches are being attacked. It's the devil. The devil's trying to take out, I don't care who, what color you are, the devil's trying to take out all men. It don't matter who you are, your race, or what it is. It's about being a man, and that's what he is trying to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, you know, that's what it is. You know, I enjoy this day. You know, my thing is we're going to do this again. We got like 6 minutes left, and we got one more caller. So we're going to take this last caller. And like I said, we keep our comments to 2 to 3 minutes, so we got 5 minutes left. And when we get close, I'm going to ask Elder Wilson to take us out with a prayer. Caller with your last four numbers, 2346, 2346. Keep your comments to 2 to 3 minutes. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Craig Howard from the life-changing state of Georgia. The scripture says that my people are destroyed and they're held in captivity because of lack of knowledge. If we do a word study in the word knowledge, it literally means a lack of intimacy with the God that created you. Our rightful place is intimacy with the Lord, being bound in the Spirit. We can be children of God but still not be a friend of God or be intimate to Him. In these last days, the devil, he is using illusion as his master too. because he is causing offense to go rampant, like Jesus says in Matthew 24, that the love of the great body of Christ will become, their love will become wax cold because of the multitude of lawlessness. The word lawlessness means disorder and chaos and iniquity that's happening in the world. And what the enemy is doing through all this stuff is getting Christians sidetracked and distracted from really what's going on, to get them to talk about racism, this and that and all that. That's just an illusion that the enemy is using to cause us to become offended, and so for our love to become wax cold. Is always the enemy coming up against God's purpose. And that's why it's imperative as us being men that we have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm about to say something that might be controversial, but if our brothers and sisters that was in that church, if they was really intimate to the Holy Spirit and heard him, he warned them. They could have got that boy born again, delivered, cast out devils and everything else, but we can be so busy that we don't even hear the Holy One on the inside of us nudging us and leading us and deliver us from danger and harm. You know,
that's right.
That's my comment.
With that being said, you know, we got 3 minutes. Elder Wilson, can you give us a quick prayer right quick before we close out? Because, you know, at the end of the show, you know, I got to give my little phrase at the end of the show. Go ahead, Elder Wilson.
Father God, we give you praise and glory for this day that we celebrate, Father. But most of all, we give you praise, Father God, being the Father of all. Because you've been the Father of all, Father, you've taught us how to live as Father as we come and begin to praise and worship you, Lord God. So these men that have made comments today, Father, we pray that, Father, all the comments we've made have been glorious to your name. And, Father, we ask you to all the women that have listened in, Father, they may be encouraged today. And we ask you now, Father God, to bless this day that more men and more young men, Lord God, may raise up, Lord God, and be men in the rightful place. We give you praise and glory and bless this video blog, Father, video show blog, Father God. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name and bless our pastor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Again, it's been a wonderful evening. It's been a wonderful weekend. I enjoyed this show. Ron, you got the last comment before we shut it down?
Well, all I want to say is that the young man that chimed in, he was right on point. Because if these people really had a relationship with Christ that needed being and had the anointing and covered up under the blood, then God would have protected them. Every place that's called a church is not a church. Every church, every building is a storehouse. The church is within. And if these people had the anointing, well, the Holy Ghost, like I said, the blood was in there, the Spirit, then they would have been covered. I don't believe if the churches that is set up in righteous and covered by God and his house where he got his leaders that he called to be there overseeing it, and people have a relationship with God, and he'll protect them. He's everybody's provider, and he's everybody's protector. So every place that they call and say is a church is just a building. The big question is whether the anointing is there, where the Spirit of God is there, where the covering is it covered by the blood? Because when you cover by the blood, God will protect you. So, like I say, a lot of this stuff got to be brought to the forefront, because every building and every place where they call in church ain't ordained and called by God.
That's
true. So a lot of these places has been attacked. It makes you wonder. Now, come on now, the devil coming up in the house. If you got the power that Christ has, you can get folks healed, folks saved, folks delivered. You can bind and cast out them demons. Devil won't prevail.
That's right.
And I'm going to leave it at that, and we'll pick it up next week.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you again from the bottom of my heart. I really do, because it could have been anywhere else. But this was an interesting show. And believe me, we got another week coming. We got the net ladies. Get ready. It's ladies' night out. No male bashing. Just tell us how you feel. Like I always say, this is your boy, your host, Deacon Chauncey Odom, with my friends, Elder Wilson and Roman Ross. God loves you, and I do too. Peace.